Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night service here at Faith Baptist Church on Easter Sunday. I think we had a really great service this morning. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, I would encourage you to go and watch it. We even had a sunrise service this morning, and I think that went really well also. We're going to begin the service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather around these different screens and, Lord, be able to, I know, in a sense, assemble together. I know we want to be here, and, Lord, we're asking that you help us be able to start gathering together as a church family inside our church building very soon. And, Lord, we're thankful for how you still continue to work in our hearts through your word and through your spirit, giving us the opportunity to pray, but also the opportunity to hear the Bible teaching and preaching and special music all during it through this live streaming and through downloads and uploads, all those different things, God. We're thankful how you have everything worked out. And Lord, we believe by faith we're doing what you want us to do. And God, we're encouraging, Lord, one another with your word. Lord, help us have a great week this upcoming week in your work. Help Faith Baptist Church to grow, and not just for a season of time, but Lord, help us make decisions that will last and affect eternity. Lord, help the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, I told you we were going to have something special during the Sunday evening service, and what we're going to do is have some special music. We've asked the Ackley family if they'll come and they'll sing with us, so all the Ackleys, except for Olivia, I think, are going to come and they're going to sing for us. And also, Mr. Todd afterwards is going to do some special music for us. So if the Ackley family will come, I know we miss seeing one another, but at least you get to see some. And looking forward to what song that God's picked for them today.
I saw the cross of Jesus. in Adam all die, unrighteous and unholy, the enemies of Christ, and death rules and reigns in the heart of all men. But there is no help found being servant to sin. But those in the second man shall be made alive, righteous and holy, children of Christ. Christ rules and reigns in the heart of his children, and even the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. O death, where is thy sting? Sin and the strength of sin, the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is not raised, then our preaching is vain. We'll all be found liars, and vain is our faith. We'll be all men most miserable, and yet in our sins. And those who are asleep in Christ would all perish. But because Christ is risen, our preaching's not vain, our witness is sure, and our faith stands the same. We're filled with the Spirit, and are free from our sins. And those who are asleep in Christ will all be with Him. O death, where is thy sting? Death is sin, and the strength of sin, the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Thank you to the Ackley family for coming and singing. I don't know about you, but I think that's a sign of the times coming up. I think they're going to be singing more often somewhere. They did a wonderful job. And poor Olivia didn't get to sing. I know how she feels. My family doesn't let me sing with them either. Maybe someday Olivia will get a chance to sing with them. But I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to sing with my family, but that's okay. But they did a wonderful job, and as I told you, it was something a little extra different and special. And as the weeks go along, we're still going to be doing special music until we can start meeting again. He said, Pastor, when is that going to be? I'm hoping it's going to be really soon. If you were here, you would see that we have a spring revival banner that's up there, and we haven't taken it down yet. And Brother Brian McBride is scheduled to be here. I think it starts on May 10th, which is Mother's Day. And so it'd be great if we could have those services here and together. I think it's trending that way, but I'm just going to sit back and watch and see how everything happens and everything part of that. Let's do a couple quick announcements before we jump into the message. Remember, as we mentioned today, we're going to be part of a week of prayer and fasting, April 20th through the 26th. There is 7 different churches that are yoking together or working together to make sure that throughout that week, every second of every day, someone will be praying to the Lord for some specific prayer requests. And we'll be giving out prayer sheets on Wednesday night, or actually showing you the different prayer lists. We might just send you out a little video or email also about the prayer list. So what it is, our church has April 20th, and it's a prayer tree type thing. It's from midnight to 12:20 a.m. we need somebody to pray, and 12:20 a.m. to 12:40 need somebody to pray, then 12:40 to 1 o'clock we need someone to pray, and that goes all the way to 11:59 that night. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I want to encourage you. I already got some text about it, and I already have some slots that are filled up, so please do that quickly. Let me know how many different slots you want. It's okay to take more than one. It's okay to take a couple that is consecutive. If you want to say, hey, I want to pray for 40 minutes, that's fine. This is just something that we are combining together at these other churches, and we're going to take Monday, church is going to take Tuesday, church is going to take Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. So we have a whole week of church that we know that every second of every day someone is praying. Also, that it's called a week of prayer and fasting. We're encouraging our church to consider, if the Lord leads them, to fast on that day of the 20th. And I know typically fasting is food-wise, and sometimes people will skip a meal. Sometimes they'll fast for the whole entire day. Sometimes they'll fast for multiple days. Other ways that people sometimes fast is sometimes they do it with electronics. They're willing to give up their TV for a day, or willing to give up their video games for a day, or willing to give up their cell phone for a day. Now you can't give up your kids for a day, but you can do different things that you really have an attachment to, that you set aside, and the reason why is so you can focus a little bit more on the Lord. So I would encourage you to consider that. We'll probably talk a little bit about fasting and maybe praying on Wednesday night, and help get us ready, or maybe next Sunday, one of those services on Sunday morning. And looking forward to a great result, looking for how God bless. I believe we did this back in 2016 with a group of churches. Not all the churches are the same this year, but I think we saw some good results from 2016. Looking forward to God blessing that once again. So we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter number 1. I know what you're going to say, Pastor, you're not at the end of the Gospels again. It's Resurrection Sunday. You're supposed to be in the last chapter of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. What are you doing? Well, here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we also have the resurrection that is mentioned, and about the power of the resurrection. And I've been rejoicing this week. I've been taking the challenge of extended prayer times and doing those in the morning. And God's just worked in my heart in some different things. And I just want to share some of those things with you. Most of the messages that I've been preaching in the last few weeks have not been on a certain book or theme. It's been letting God work in my heart, my mind, and letting God just kind of lead and guide. I think preaching through books of the Bible are really important and really good, and we'll get back to those. And preaching through certain series, or like the great questions of the Bible, I've really enjoyed that. And we're not even close to finishing those up. Next week, we're going back to Job, and hopefully we're going to get that question that I wanted to do a couple weeks ago, but instead, we preached about I'll consider it my servant Job. So next Sunday morning, it's my plan, unless God changes my plan, to be back in the book of Job, and going to be reading throughout the book of Job again this week, just learning and growing and letting God work in my heart about some different things that are in there. So you won't want to miss next Sunday morning. But let's jump in the passage of Scripture. The title of this evening's message is The Opportunities to Believers. The Opportunities to Believers. I don't know about you, but when I consider the resurrection and consider how Christ arose and how Christ completed salvation's plan and how he conquered death, the grave, and hell all at one time, it presents so many opportunities to us believers. It gives us a proof of salvation. It helps us realize about our heavenly home. It talks about the resurrection. There's just so much that is available to us as believers. We can have victory over sin. All those things, because salvation's plan was completed, now we can see even clearer what God's planning for our lives. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And in this passage of Scripture, he talks about some of the things he prays for. This is a passage of Scripture. Paul is specifically praying for the Ephesus believers. And as he's praying for them, there is three things I want to bring to light here that is, I consider, an opportunity for a believer. And it's an amazing opportunity. Sometimes we take our opportunities for granted. Sometimes we have our families, and because we get used to our families being around, we take them for granted for the things they do. Some of you kids, if your moms did not wash your clothes and did not fix you a dinner or lunch or breakfast, did not clean the house, could you imagine how things would be after a week? You'd probably be starving and probably wouldn't have anything clean to wear. The house would probably be a wreck. Can you imagine kids living in a house for a week and nobody cleaned it up? But sometimes we take people for granted, and sometimes we take up the opportunities that God's given us. I think one of the things we've learned about all this and not being able to meet together at church, how much we miss church, miss seeing the people. I don't know how many people that have said, "Pastor, we miss being there. We took the opportunity for granted to be able to come together and be a part of it. And we miss being able to sing in the special. We miss seeing everyone." No one's ever told me that they miss seeing me. Well, actually, maybe somebody did. But I've heard over and over, we miss seeing everyone. And we miss getting to be able to serve. Many teachers missing their kids in their Sunday school classes, and people picking up kids on the buses, all those different things. They miss the opportunities they have. They've taken those things for granted. And sometimes in our Christian lives, these three things are things I think sometimes we take for granted. Because of the fact that they're always available to us, it makes it not as special. But the only reason why these are available to us is because of the resurrection and the power of God. And because of that, I want to encourage you to think about these three things that Paul is praying for to these Ephesus believers. I know you could probably find a couple more in here, but the three I want to focus on. Let's start in Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's go ahead and start in verse 15. Paul is speaking, "Wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith," he's talking about the faith that the church of Ephesus, the believers there, "and the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints." So there's two separate things there. There's a faith in the Lord, and also the love they have for others. They are both. You're supposed to have those. Sometimes people demonstrate love to one another. They can't do it in a scriptural, loving, Christ-honoring way unless they're doing it by faith. But sometimes people try to have faith, and they treat others bad. Sometimes people try to love others, but don't have faith. Paul's saying, "I've heard that you have both of these, and they're both important." He says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul is saying, I'm continually telling God how I'm thankful for you, and he's continually praying on their behalf. Verse number 17, we see something here that he's praying for them specifically for. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The first thing that is an amazing opportunity is that we can know God. We can know God. Second thing, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So the first thing I think people take advantage is the fact of knowing God. The second thing I think people sometimes, that is a wonderful opportunity that we have, is not just to know God, but to know God's calling for our lives. Boy, that is important. Not just to know the Creator, but to know what purpose he has for you to be in this world. Let's keep on going. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." Think about that. I underlined those words in my Bible, "to usward who believe." The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. First is to know God. Secondly, it's the opportunities to live according to his plans. And number three is to have God's power on our life. I don't know about you, but what better opportunity that we have than to have the power of God? And then he continues on, and he says, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, we look at the empty tomb, and we're saying, look at the power of God. And the scripture even says that here. "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Once again, you have the resurrection there as a sign of the power of God. And he says, his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And look at that description of the power. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." It covers everything. The power of Christ, the power that is to usward who believe, "and have put all things," and this is referring to Christ, "under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to you once again today, Lord, I pray that our hearts be receptive to what you have in store for us during this service. God, we need you. And Lord, I pray in this service and this message, you remind us of that. Lord, there are so many of us that live in our own power and our own strength, and we're not accomplishing anything for you, or at least not accomplishing near as much as we could in your power and your strength. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us as we see the empty tomb today, we rejoice in your power, but also help us to see that it's available to you. Help us to see the opportunities we have to have victory over sin. Help us to see the opportunities we have to know you and have to understand your calling and to live in your power. Lord, work through your word today. Work through your spirit. Lord, speak to each person that hears this. Help them to see that as a believer or as a child of God, we have such great opportunities sitting right in front of us. But many of us don't even scratch the surface of what's available. In Jesus' name, amen. So 3 points here. The first point is to know God. What a wonderful privilege. To live according to his plan. What a wonderful opportunity. And to have God's power in our life. What an amazing thought. 3 things I want you to think about here. First, you find in verse number 17, it says that the God, and this is Paul speaking, he's praying to God, these are the prayers I pray to you for the church of Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul, who many of us would consider the greatest Christian to ever live, at least that we know of, the greatest missionary that we know of. Once again, how God looks at people is sometimes differently, but I know Paul did a lot of wonderful things and God used Paul in special and even supernatural ways. He's saying that I've heard that you have faith and I heard that you love others, but this is what I'm praying for you. This is what I want to see. This is the fruit that I want to see. This is the prayer that I want answered concerning you and concerning your faith and love for others. The first thing that I know that you need, and it's the first thing that's on my heart, is that you can know God. What an amazing thought. We can know God and we can know him personally. As I mentioned on Wednesday night, you're as close to God as you want to be today. Why? What do you mean? As close as we want to draw nigh unto him, he will continue to draw nigh unto us. If we are close to him, it's because we made a decision to draw nigh unto him. We have that opportunity because of the grave, because of what Christ did and how he triumphantly arose from the grave. If he was still in that tomb, we wouldn't have that opportunity. But he's not in that tomb. He has risen, like he said. And because of that, we can also live triumphantly. And the scriptures are saying here that we can know God. Look what it says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and he's saying, this is what we need to pray, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The only person that can really truly reveal God to you is himself. The only person that can really teach you the things that God wants you to learn is the Holy Spirit of God. You can become a very knowledgeable in a book wise and in a book sense of God. You can have knowledge of him physically, but you cannot truly understand who he is until you allow him to work in your heart spiritually. And I love the phrase there. He says, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He can reveal unto you who he is. I don't know about you, but this is truth. This is in my life, in my Christian walk. You know, I can learn 100 memory verses, but if I take one and I let God reveal himself to me, remember, that's what these great questions of the Bible are all about, is that God is trying to reveal something about yourself to you. He was showing Martha, hey, Martha, yes, I know you believe. I know your heart, but do you believe this about me? And then Martha, remember, if you will believe, then you can see the glory of God. Martha, your faith, it's strong, but it's confusing. You said, if I ask the Father, he'll give it to me. He says, I'm God. He says, you're looking forward to a future resurrection. I'm the resurrection and life. I'm right in front of you. And that's from this morning's message. And then he's saying, you're still questioning me, even though you said that I was the Christ, the Son of God, the one that was going to come into the world. You recognize me as the Messiah. You recognize me as God. You recognize me as the Savior. But you still say, hey, why are you taking away the tomb? in our lives, when God asks us a question, is to reveal something about yourself or to reveal something about himself to you. There's been a number of times, and we've even looked at a few of those questions, where God is trying to reveal something about himself to you. Think about it. What did he say to Sarah? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He is showing Sarah, I know you think it's funny. I know you don't think it's impossible, but consider this. Is there anything too hard for me? And he learns that. And that's how we learn about God. We learn about him through his word. We learn about him through asking the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that is going to guide us into all truth. He's the one that's going to reveal who God is and what God is trying to show us and what God is trying to teach us. The Apostle Paul, as I said, probably one of the greatest Christians to ever live, his spiritual goal in life was to know him better. Think about what it said in Philippians 3:7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. And in verses 3, 8, 9, and 10, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And what he's saying is, hey, I'd be willing to forget everything. And compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you know what? Everything else looks like dung. Then he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but as of the law, and that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he finishes thought, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. His spiritual aspiration was to know God better. And I tell you, what an opportunity, what a privilege we have. I don't know what to tell you, except for some people have this spiritual ambition that, hey, if I could just sing in front of the church, my spiritual life would be set. If I could get up there and be able to preach a sermon, my spiritual life could be set. If I could learn to do this, or if I could learn to do that, and many of those things are good things. But the spiritual ambition that we should have, the spiritual privilege that we have, the opportunity that's laying in front of us because of the completed work of Christ on the cross and the rising from the grave and the sending of the Holy Ghost is what? That we can know God. But unfortunately, many of us don't take that very seriously. Knowing God is we learn from him in circumstances. But in my life, the most I ever learn about God is when I'm sitting in a quiet, still place, alone praying with his word, asking him to teach me. He reveals things unto you. He shows you things. You can have conversations with him. You learn about him as you think on him. And the more you know about him, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love him, the more you're going to want to know even more about him. And you remember the first time you fell in love, for those that have fallen in love before. You think about it. You wanted. I'm not talking about some kiddie love. I'm talking about a serious interest in another person. You want to know more about them. You want to know who they are. You want to know where they came from. You want to know about their likes and dislikes. You want to know their favorite colors. You want to know. It's something that you have an interest in growing in that interest in knowing them. And I think sometimes husbands and wives, many times where they struggle is when they stop learning about one another and stop caring about one another because they're not interested anymore in knowing them better and how to please them or how to try to minister unto them. They're only interested in themselves. And that's where a lot of the problems start, and that's where a lot of divorce ends up or unhappy marriages is because they stop looking at marriage as a ministry. How can I know my husband? How can I know my wife better? And how can I give myself to them? I mean, we heard that song today. He gave himself, talking about the Christ gave himself on the cross. But how many of us really truly give ourselves to our mates? And it's a knowledge of them and knowing them. Instead of saying, oh, that's what he wants. I know that's what she wants. No, understanding. And you say, well, how can you understand your mate as you get to know him? And they will reveal what they might like or dislike. Hear God on a whole different level. Uses the Holy Spirit of God to teach you in such special ways that as you are learning your knowledge, you become craving it more and more. And that's why I think Paul here is saying, you know, as I draw closer to God, and as I learn of him, and he continues to reveal himself unto me, I want to know more. And not only do I want to know more, I want you to know more. And when I'm praying, I know you already have faith. I know you have love for one another. I get that. But I want you to know, my prayer request for you is that you would know him better. Because if you know him better, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love him more. And as you love him more, you're going to care about his plan, which is next. Let's look here. So the first thing, which is an opportunity, is to know God. The second thing is, which is a great privilege or an opportunity because of the grave being open and because he raised from the dead. Once again, if Christ was still in that grave, none of this would matter, is that we can know his plan for our lives. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I like that. You look at it again at the beginning of verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In our lives, God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. But we need to seek his will. We need our eyes to be enlightened. We need to know what his desires for our life are. I see this as a battle and a struggle in so many people's lives. We use the illustration of 16 to 22-year-olds. You know, you need to seek God's will. You need to seek God's will. And we try to pound it in their heads. Well, at least some people do. Other people will say, oh, make sure you get a good job. Everybody has what they think is the best plan for your life. But here Paul is saying, you need to know him. And then as you're knowing him, you need to allow him to enlighten your eyes so it could be open to what his will is for you. Now consider this. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What we need to do is ask God, what is your plan for me? And let him reveal that unto you. He's got a special plan for every single person that's watching. Normally I would say every single person in the room, but that's not very many. But every single person watching, God has a plan for you. That first plan is that you be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. His desire is that you would know him and truly get born again. But secondly, after that, he's got a purpose for you. And if you go into his word, you'll see different things. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. And there's a lot of things that applies to every believer. But then he, as a personal thing, he comes and he zones in on you and says, this is what I plan for you. And that's what he's referring to, your understanding being enlightened. He wants to reveal unto you what he wants you to do. It's not some cosmic Easter egg hunt, what is God's will for my life? It's knowing God, and as God knows you, he will enlighten to you what he wants you to do next. Think about the passage we read earlier today. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, many times Christian young people and teenagers and even adults have gotten to the point and said, yeah, this is what God's will is for my life. But they don't know him well enough to get that answer. They don't spend time with him. Yeah, I prayed about it. This is what I think God wants me to do. And I mean, what are you going to do when someone says that? Sometimes I look at a young person and they say, God wants me to do this. I said, okay, where'd you get that from? You can tell it was a fleshly decision based off of this or based off of that. But have you spent time alone with God? I mean, how much time did you pray about this last week? How much time did you spend in his word? Have you been growing in your faith? Or are you struggling with sin? All those different things, it helps us understand, if I'm not living in God's will, how can God relay his future to me? And I want you to understand, this is not just for a young person. This is for older people. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we're set in our ways. And sometimes we're at the point that we feel like, hey, this is the way it's got to be. This is what's best. This is what I want. And God has something completely different planned for you. Some people, I'm only going to go to church one day a week and bless God, I don't care what anybody else says. No one's going to change my mind. And when you get that heart attitude, you know what happens? You're not seeking God's knowledge. You're not asking him for you to give you understanding. Now, if you get something from God, you know, don't let anybody sway you. Don't let anybody change you. Don't question in the light, you know, sometimes when you're in the darkness. That's good. That's fine. But at the same time, if you're making fleshly decisions and saying, hey, this is God's will, Paul's not saying that here. Paul's saying, there's an amazing opportunity in front of you. And what my prayer for you is, not that you be rich, not that you find happiness, not that you find this or find that. My desire for you is that you would know God better and that you would allow God to enlighten your understanding concerning the hope of his calling for you, what he has planned for you. And the third thing that makes this an amazing opportunity is not only can you know the Creator, not only does he have a plan for you, he gives you the power to do his plan. He gives you the power that's available to you. If you read these scriptures, it talks about in verse number 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And I mean, we would all say, yes, the tomb is empty. It is exceeding in greatness. And then you go and you describe the power of Christ in verse 21. It's above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It's fantastic. But then you look back in verse number 9. It says, to us word who believe. This is the power that is available to us. You think about it. He says in his word, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That if God intends for you to do something, part of his calling for your life, he can give you the strength to do it. Some people say, well, I don't have the strength to do this or that. That means that's not part of his plan. Also, Zechariah 4:6 at the end, it says, not by might nor by power, but by spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by his spirit. That's the power that's available to us. That's the power that resides in us. That's the resource we had to draw from. The power of God is a resource of ours. But oftentimes we don't even scratch the surface. We struggle with sometimes even just spending time alone with him, knowing him, caring about his calling. And Paul's saying, hey, look, this is what I'm praying for you. This is maybe not what your prayer list would be. This is not maybe what you would expect. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to know God. And I want you to know him better. And as you know him, I want you to seek his will for your life. And then I want you to see that his power is available to you. To us word who believe. What amazing opportunity these things are. But how come we live such defeated Christian lives? How come we struggle with so much sin that we don't even act like we're Christians? How come it looks like we're just like the rest of the world and we don't have victory and we don't have accomplished anything for him? It seems like we are just keep on going and going and going and never accomplish anything. There are so many Christians that it reminds me of that 40 years inside the wilderness that those Israelites did. They sat for 40 years and accomplished nothing. Because of their sin, they just wandered and wandered and wandered. And many times Christians today just have that mentality. They wander and they wander and they wander, and they never do anything. They never scratch the surface of the potential God has for them. And what God's been working on my heart about this week is, you know what? I can have victory. God is available. Knowledge of God is available to me. The hope of his calling, his will's available to me, and the power of God's available to me. On Wednesday night, we focused a little bit on this verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a powerful pair of promise. What it's saying is you can have victory over the devil. If you learn to submit to God and you resist the devil has to leave you alone. And how many of us can say that really happened in our week last week? How many of us can actually say, I claim that verse and I submitted my life to God, I resisted the devil, and you know what? He left me alone. I had victory over that sin. I didn't say the things I wanted to say. I didn't watch the things I wanted to watch. I didn't listen to the things I wanted to listen to. I decided to make a decision that was going to let me have victory over that temptation. That's the type of life that he wants us to have. Now, in our own strength, in our own power, we can't beat the devil. We are no match. You consider that for over 6,000 years, he is very good at what he does. And he has gone very good at being deceitful. He's been very good. We are no match to the devil in our own power and our own strength. But the opportunity that's available to us to live a victorious Christian life sits right in front of us. But so many of us just bow our head and just give in to the sin. You can be victorious. Guess a couple of thoughts why Christians need a strength. The first thing is because we're weak. As Jesus a few weeks ago, we talked about to Peter when he was sleeping instead of praying, he says, "Peter, you're not as strong as you think you are." He says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We're not as strong as we think we are. Paul is saying, "I'm praying for this church that has love for one another, which is not all churches, and is a church that has faith, which is not all churches. Seems like a good church, seems like a strong church." And he says, "But what I want you to know is I want you to know God, I want you to know his will, and I want you to know the power that's available to you. You're weak, you cannot do this on your own, you need God's power." Second thing is, not only do we need his strength because we're weak, it's because we have a powerful enemy. As I already alluded to, we can't beat the devil on our own. Ephesians chapter number 6, same book. You go later on, it talks about the weapons of our warfare. Talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Talk about standing against the wiles of the devil. All those things are true. The devil is a nasty enemy. Some people try to make light of him and put horns and a tail on it and runs around and you just poke him away. He is a very dangerous enemy. He's very powerful. But guess what? We have such a greater power that's available to us who believe. We have the power of God in our lives. How come we're not scratching the surface? How come we're giving in to someone? Someday we're going to see him and see him for a minute who he is. And we're going to wonder, why in the world did I give so much of my heart and so much of my life over to his temptations and over to things he wants me to do? Learn the truth that if we will submit ourselves to God, there is a power that is given to us that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us, but we need God's strength. And the third reason, not only because we're weak and because of the enemy, is because we can do nothing without it. I would guess that the reason why many churches do not respond the way it could in faith is because we're used to doing things in our own strength. We're used to doing things in our own power. We're used to doing things that make sense to us. We're used to doing the things that we've been taught or the things that our flesh says, because that's easy. Once again, it's as we learned about this morning, faith in the future is easy to have. Faith for today is something we need because we can't accomplish anything without him. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're wrong. I've done a lot of good things in my own strength." So did Judas. Where's he at today? Well, if we learn that everything we have comes from God and that it's supposed to be from the Lord, then guess what? We'll learn this important truth that's found in John 15:5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." A little phrase that I memorized a long time ago, "For without me ye can do nothing." There are so many times when we try to enter into the service of God that we know that we're not right and we know we have not prepared by not praying, by not studying, by not drawing nigh to him, and we do something that is completely in the flesh, and we feel good about it. Without him, we can do nothing. We need God, and we need God's strength, and we need God's help. What some amazing opportunities. And for me, I believe it's all because of the resurrection. Now, I know God had done things before the resurrection, but it all led up to that day. If somehow the devil would have won that day and that Jesus would have never rose from the grave, we would not have these opportunities and privileges today. Don't miss these. Don't take them for granted. You can know God. Stop being lazy. Get up and read your Bible and learn about him. Let him teach you an understanding. Let him reveal himself to you. Also, secondly, remember he has a will for your life. You have such a short period of time here in this world. And when you get to heaven someday, I don't know all the different opportunities and all the things we're going to know or not know, But I know that most of us, if not all of us, will say, I wish I would have focused on what God wanted instead of what I wanted. I don't remember the exact quote, but I was reading about it a little bit this week. There was a story that there was a man who asked D.L. Moody a question. The man doesn't even remember telling D.L. Moody this statement or this question. He says, the world still has never seen what God could do with a man who was completely surrendered to him. And that's not an exact quote, but it's a thought there. The world still has never seen what God could do with a man who is completely surrendered to him. D.L. Moody took that challenge or that statement, and he said he lived the rest of his life trying to be that man. And he did a lot of great and wonderful things for God over the years. But he said at the end of his life, he says the world still has not seen what God could do with a man who is completely surrendered to him. Church, we need to lay down our arms and lay down our pride. Say, God, I want to surrender it unto you. I want to know what your will is. And I don't expect anything out of the ordinary, Lord. I just want to do what you want me to do with my life. I have my own plans. I have plans to be this great athlete, this great musician, this great this, or this great scientist, or this great lawyer. I have plans to be president of the United States. I have my plans, Lord. But I'm willing to surrender to you and let you enlighten my understanding about your will for my life. And then once I am learning of you, and once I'm surrendered to your will, I am making myself available to the power that is within me, and I can live a successful Christian life. I do not have to give in to sin. I can have victory unlike I've ever known before, because my desire is to know you better. My desire is to do your will. And as I surrender to you, I'm asking you, Lord, to give me the power to do the things that you want me to do. But when we choose not to take advantage of the opportunity to know him, we choose the opportunity to do the things we want to do, and what's not available to us anymore? The power. Now, it's there, but we're not using it because we're missing the first two things. So Paul, of all the things Paul could have prayed for, all the things. Remember, this is where Ephesus was a great city of commerce. They could pray that, man, I hope you get a lot of money so you can build this big church and, you know, this temple of Diana would look silly. No, he doesn't pray for those things. He said, this is what I want you to focus on. So what my desire for you is that you would know God and know him better, that you allow God to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, to reveal himself unto you, and that you would have a spiritual enlightening, an understanding being enlightening. To what? His will for your life. And that power, that amazing power, the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe. That's what Paul says. Those are the things I want you to work on. Those are the things I'm asking God to give you because of the importance that each one of those things have. Now, tonight, are you seeking God to know him better? And there's a point of knowing him, understanding him. And sometimes people say, I know enough. Apostle Paul said, I can't know enough. I want to know more. Are you really interested in what God has for your life? If God told you to get up and move across the country or go to Africa, would you be willing to do it? You say, yes, yes. Well, then be willing to be nice to your husband or wife, to be willing to be faithful to church, be willing to do those things that you know that it's part of God's plan for your life. And then he will reveal and give an understanding what the rest are and what the future is. And last but not least, don't forget about the power of God. It is exceeding greatness of his power. It was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. We saw it there. We saw it at the empty tomb. That's the power that's available to us. Hey, Pastor, does that mean I'm going to raise myself from the dead? You're going to do exactly what God wants you to do. He's going to enable you to do that. So the answer is no. He's going to raise you from the dead someday. But he said, what about all this? If you know him and he reveals himself to you and you want to do his will give you power to do what he wants you to do in your life. And it will be amazing because it's his plan for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. God, what a blessing it is to be able to celebrate your resurrection. And because of the love you had for us, we see that empty tomb. Because of your power, we realize what happened. And God, I pray that we take advantage of these opportunities, these wonderful privileges we have as children of God. Lord, so many of us have not scratched the surface of what you want for us. And God, I pray that we seek to know you better, seek to have a greater understanding, and ask you to reveal these things unto us. Ask you to reveal yourself unto us through your word, through prayer, and through circumstances. And God, as we're learning of you, help us to see that we know that you have our best interests at heart, and you know what's best for our future, whether it's a full-time ministry, or whether it's a different job, or whether it's a taking something on or letting something go. We can trust in you, and God, we make ourselves available to that power that you've promised us. You've said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. Lord, you told us if we delight ourselves in you, you'll give us the desires of our heart. Lord, help us to do the things you want us to do so we can be accomplishing your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for celebrating the resurrection of Christ with us today. We pray you got a blessing from the service. Remember a couple just last closing announcements. If you want to be a part of the April 20th prayer time and praying throughout the day for needs, spiritual needs in our country and in our churches and the things going on with the virus, many times people say, I don't know what I can do. This is something you can do. And not only is it something you can do, you can be a part of. You can be a part of that's going to last the whole entire week of praying and fasting. Also, it teaches and shows us that we're not in competition with other local independent Baptist churches. The other two independent Baptist churches here in Faith, Elizabeth City, Victory Baptist and Emmanuel Baptist, both have a day. You know, we can work together and join up together and do something for the cause of Christ. So make sure you do this. Pray about it, but I'm pretty sure the Lord's not going to have a problem with you doing the 20 minutes praying and seeking his face. We'll give you a prayer list coming up probably on Wednesday, and we'll have make sure all the slots are filled up by next Sunday, so that way we can have a full day of praying, 24 hours all day next Monday, Faith Baptist Church. And once again, be praying about the fasting. I don't want to be the one to lead you. I want the Lord to lead you. I'm just giving you an opportunity and telling you that I think it'd be wonderful to set not only prayer time aside, but other things aside, so we can focus on God and focus on the request that God leads us to pray for. Have a wonderful week. Let us know if you need anything. We're praying for you.